would bleed and die for. And, oh, I tell you, we need to have that spirit of humility about us. But yet, as small as we are, who are we? Nobody. What is man that thou art mindful of him? We're a nothing and a nobody. But yet God was mindful of us and loved us and gave himself for us. All right, I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the Song of Solomon, chapter number 6 again, please. Solomon's Song, chapter number 6. And when you find that place, let's stand together and we'll read our text this morning. Solomon, chapter number 6, and let's begin reading with verse number 1. Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee? My beloved is gone down into his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens and to gather lilies. I wish that I could preach this morning on that last thought, that Christ is gathering lilies. We sang that old song so many times, gathering flowers. We don't, but it's an old hymn. Others used to sing it. Gathering flowers for the Master's bouquet. And he has gone into the garden, into the church, to gather lilies, to put them in the bouquet that'll be yonder in the throne, around the throne in heaven. That's a type of God gathering his saints and calling them home, gathering the flowers for the Master's bouquet. But I'm not going to be able to preach on that. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the morning hour. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done in my life by calling me and by converting me and by saving me by the grace of God. I thank you for the Bible that you've given, the Word of God that has been such a blessing throughout the years. It's been a lamp under my feet, Lord, and a light under my path. I'm grateful that you've illuminated the way that I've taken and gone before me, and prepared the way and provided for me in the way. And I'd ask you this morning to give real grace during these next few moments. Lord, that you would settle in on our hearts and draw our attention unto thee. Help our minds to be stayed this morning upon the Lord. I pray that you'll save somebody by the grace of God. Maybe that blinded individual, Lord, in the church, or someone listening by the way of radio or someone by internet, that you'd move at their heart for thee. Show thy mercy and thy grace that they may know you in the free pardon of sin. And I pray, O Lord, that you'd provide the power that I need this morning from thee. For without you, Lord, I can do nothing. I'm helpless without the power and the presence of thee. Manifest, I pray, your presence in this place. Open our blinded eyes that we may see the work of God inside the church as it continues, Lord, into the day that we're caught up to meet you in the clouds. And I'd ask you this morning now to please apply the Spirit of God to our hearts and help us, and we'll thank you and praise you for meeting every need in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to read verse number 2 again, and this morning will be our text, where Solomon writes here and says, my beloved is gone down into his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens, and to gather lilies. Notice that he said there that he's gone down to the beds of spices to feed in his garden. I want to try to preach this morning on the thought, the kind of a garden that Jesus feeds in. What kind of a church does the Lord feed himself in? What kind of people does he dwell among? What kind of spirit should the house of God have where the presence of the Lord is made manifest. Now, by way of introduction, let me say here that the bride in this verse is answering the question that has been presented to her by the daughters of Jerusalem. Those young converts, those that have yet to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And they ask the question, whither is thy beloved gone? And by the way, they're so interested in Him that they ask that question again. Where or whither has He turned aside that we may seek Him with thee also? And the idea is there not only to seek Him, but if you know where we can look for Him at, maybe we can find Him like you have. And the answer is, He's down in the garden. He is down. He's gone down into the garden to the beds of spices to feed there in the garden. Now, if you recall our preaching out of this book in chapter 4 and verse number 12, the garden there is the church. And also in chapter 5 and verse 1, Christ assures the bride that He has come in to His garden. He said there that you are the garden and I'm come in to my garden. Now I see in this verse this morning the bride's memory in exercise. Oh church, I tell you, we ought from time to time to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance, is what Brother Peter said. We are so prone in our religion to forget great things concerning the Lord. And one of those things is that Christ is yet at work in the church of the living God. If you please, this little bride remembers Christ's word. Oh, doesn't the Bible say that we ought to hide His word in our heart that we might not sin against Him? That is remembering it. I told our Sunday school class when I first started teaching Sunday school in the book of Psalms that Thomas Kempis now, a man of God in the year 1012 A.D., he made the statement. He said, I find no rest but in a nook with the book. Now I'm here to tell you, my friend, we ought to be reminded consistently of the Word of God and the promises of His Word. And listen here, if you ever lose sight of the promises of the Bible, you become of all men or women most miserable. If we forget what God has said, or if we neglect the salvation that's been provided for us, or if we neglect the Bible that God has given for us. And so I see her memory in exercise. She remembers Christ's Word, and she realizes that He is yet busy and that He is yet at work in the church. Now, I said that to say this, to Him be glory in the church. Ages are worlds without end. And friend, as long as His church is upon the earth, you mark it down, Christ is going to be in that church accomplishing things that will bring great glory to His wonderful name. Now you and I at times may not realize that He's there. That is the bride situation from verse number 10 down through the last verse of chapter 5. She has no earthly sense of the manifest presence of God. But she realizes, friend, that He's yet there in the church and working in the church to accomplish that which pleases God. You may not see Him all the time, but I tell you, friend, He's there
He's here. He's been here. He is here. And He's working here. Somebody said, oh, I haven't felt Him like I ought to. Well, I'm sorry about that, Mr. Isaac, that you live all the time on feelings. Isaac said, hey, said you feel like Esau and you smell like Esau. But he said, what I'm hearing is of Isaac. Now, I'm afraid too many times we'll go on our feelings and our senses rather than living by faith. And oh, may God help us to open our blinded eyes and by faith realize that God is yet working in the house of God in Madisonville. Amen. That's right. I'll tell you, the problem ain't with God. It's our blinded faith. It's our blinded eyes. It's our lack of knowledge and lack of zeal. Amen to God. It's our lack of faith in looking into this Bible and understanding what God has a doing in our midst. I told the men in the prayer meeting this morning, they'd come out with a piece of equipment that can carry our internet signal to anywhere in the world and reduplicate it over through an FM antenna and broadcast our signal anywhere in the world. And we can establish those low power stations for about $15,000 a station. Somebody said, oh, preacher, that's a lot of money. That's what I'm saying. Well, in God's name is our faith this morning. I just wonder if that's not God working in our midst to provide for us an open door that no man has got the power nor the ability to close. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, don't leave me now. The text says that He is there to feed in His garden. He's went down to His garden, to the bed of spices, to feed there in His gardens. Now, that poses a question. Who's going to be eating? Or is He there to feed the church? Or is He there to feed Himself? It said He went down into the bed of His garden, to the bed of spices, to feed among the gardener in the garden. Amen. Let me ask you, who's He there to feed? The church or Himself? Come on in the house, youngins. No man ever planted a garden to let somebody else eat it. Amen. No man in the Bible ever planted a vineyard that he didn't intend to eat the grapes and drink the wine from that vineyard. Now I tell you, the garden that He has planted, the garden, the church that He has planted, He has planted there for the purpose that He might feed on the spiritual graces that are found in that particular church. To the bed of spices. He's went down to the gardens, not just one, but a number of gardens. He's went down to those local, visible churches that He might feed there on the graces of His people. Hey, what kind of a church do you think Christ could come and feed in and satisfy His spiritual appetite in this morning? You think there's enough grace at Island Ford Baptist that He could find satisfaction? Somebody said, oh, preacher, you're way off base. Oh, no, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. That's talking about fellowship, friend, and him feasting or delighting himself on the fellowship of the people of God. I'm simply saying that he enjoys himself in the church that he might fellowship with the people of God that are there. I wonder if he could find satisfaction this morning here. I wonder what kind of a garden would Jesus eat in? Huh? Come on in the house. How many of you men in here got gardens? Well, there's one. You ain't got none, Brother Robert? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 gardens. I guarantee you, when that garden starts coming in, you fellas are really going to enjoy the briars and the thorns in that thing, ain't you? Huh? I said that to say this. He's not going to delight himself in a church, my friend, that is filled up with briars and filled up with thorns. Oh, no. He's going to have to do business in that church before there's ever enough grace there for him to feed himself in that church. What kind of a church will he feed in? We're moving slow. We'll just be like Uncle Joe. Bless God, we'll just move slow. What kind of a church? Hey, he's not gonna dine on briars and thorns. And he's not gonna walk through soil briars 10 feet tall to get one little old knotty tomato either. I've seen men plant gardens and let the soil briars and the weeds take them over. Say, praise God, come out and look at the tomato patch I've grown. You get out there and there's one little old knotty tomato about half rotten, about that big. Hey, that ain't much of a garden. He's not looking for naughty rotten tomatoes, boys. He's looking for them 265-pound watermelons. Hey, men to God, that's exactly what I'm looking for this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to find one this summer that's big enough to cut both ends out of it and eat my way through it, bless God, on my hands and knees.
Amen.
He's looking for a garden that is rich and fertile and productive, that he might delight himself in the fellowship of the people that make up that church. Well, I'm going to answer that question. I'm going to have to read a lot of Scripture. It may get slower than what it is right now. But what kind of a church, what kind of a garden will he feed in? I want to say, first of all, one that's been plowed. That's right. One that's been plowed.
Amen.
Son, he's not going to delight himself in a church where the gospel plow has not been put down.
Amen.
And son, the debris and the trash and the rubbish that is in that garden plowed out of it. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad that he delights in calling men to preach that know how to put their hand to hands on the plow handle and bear the plow and plow out anything that is contrary to sound doctrine.
Amen.
That's right. You know, when somebody said, now, preacher, where do you get that plow? That word beds of spices. The word beds there means a raised area or a furrow. And friend, I've never seen a furrow plowed in a field yet that once the furrow was plowed, it didn't leave a raised place. He talked about a garden that has been plowed by the Word of God. Hallelujah. Plowing out the stump. Somebody said, preacher, what do you do in the church when you run into a stump with a plow? Said, I back up, bury the plow a little bit deeper, and rammer the second time.
Amen.
He wants this field clean.
Amen.
He wants this church clean.
Amen.
Good plowed ground.
Amen.
God's looking for men that'll plow. Some of you men here are going to get a little grit in your craw.
Amen.
You're going to preach, you're going to get a little grit in your craw.
Amen.
You know, when God got ready to replace Elijah, you know who he replaced him with?
Yes, sir.
A man by the name Elisha.
Amen.
Now come in the house, children. Elisha wasn't plowing with one team of oxen.
Right.
He was a real man, son.
Amen.
He had 12 yoke of oxen.
Amen.
And he was with the 12th. That means, son, there was 24 oxen ahead of the plow that old Elisha was putting in the ground. And son, I think 24 oxen's got a great deal of power that they might plow out every stump and all the rubbish and all the problems in the field, that you might plant some rich seed to bring forth a fruit that Christ, my friend, might feed himself upon. Come on, my children. Huh? Now, that brings me to this. What are we going to plow? What I want to plow in you this morning, everybody listen to me. Please don't leave me. I think we need to plow in some forgotten ground.
Amen.
Huh? I drive around through the country, Brother Jerry, and I see farms that have grown up in sawbars. They've grown up in weeds and little old saplings and bushes. And you can tell that they have not been plowed for years. Oh, there may be evidence there that at one time they were plowed.
Right. Amen. Yes, sir.
Huh? But now there's evidence that it's been years since that ground has been plowed. Forgotten about. Farmers have just laid it aside and forgotten all about it. Come on now, youngins.
Amen.
I want to say that there's areas of your heart. There's places in your inner man that the gospel plow, the Word of God, has never made contact with, friend. Some of you in here got the idea God's done all the work in your life He can do. I've got news for you. You're about as weak, my friend, as branch water and dumber than a box of rocks. If you think that every recess of your inner man in your heart has been touched by the Word of God, there is soil in your life, friend, that the gospel plow has never touched, that God would delight to step down in and turn up that forgotten soil and plant something rich in it in the Word of God to bring forth fruit in that ground for His honor and glory. Are you listening? That's right.
Amen.
That part of your heart.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That God ain't never moved on. Still dark. Just like hard pan. It's that soil that Matthew 13 talks about being wayside soil.
Amen.
Now I'm afraid there's a lot of wayside soil in the house of God. We sow the seed on it, and the fowls of the air come and devour it. Because it's never been plowed. Never been reached. Never been had the soil turned up. Oh, may God help us this morning. I want to say secondly. Now I'm fixing to bust your stinking hide here. Huh? If that ground's never been plowed, that's my fault. Huh? But not only plow up the forgotten ground, but we need to plow up the fallow ground. Listen what... I'm talking about, hey, soil that's been plowed, that's the fallow ground. Soil that's been plowed, but it's never had anything planted in it.
Right.
Stay with me now. Hosea 10:12 said, sow to yourselves in righteousness.
Amen.
Reap in mercy. Break up the fallow ground.
Amen.
For it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Son, if you come in the church house now and get your mind off outside, I'll try to preach to you a little while. If you don't, we're going to go to the house. Hey, He said, break up that fallow ground. What about that ground in your heart that the gospel plow has broken up? And you've left her lay there dormant, my friend, and have failed to get in the Bible and sow that ground with the Word of God that it might bring forth fruit to you. Hosea said, it's time to break up that ground one more time. Break her up one more time. That you might sow it and that you might reap it in mercy. And that goes right along with where we're at in the Song of Solomon. He said, for, hey, it is time that you seek the Lord. I believe that was a little bride's problem. She had fallow ground that had been broken up and never been sown with the right kind of seed. And the Lord said, it's time to sow that seed and seek God Almighty in your life.
Amen.
Oh, I'm a trying, church.
Amen, preacher.
I'm trying. I'm going to tell you, I think it's time we got our heads out of our rear ends.
Amen.
And that's putting her kind of blunt.
Amen.
And started, hey, forgot our little pity parties and pet peeves.
Right.
And got to looking for God in our life.
Amen.
Huh? Amen. Seeking the Lord. That's where this little bride had come to. Oh, she had been abused and and used and neglected, but yet she was seeking God. He said, break out that fallow ground and come and find me. I'm nigh you. If you come and find me, if you seek, you'll find me.
Break up. Plow up that fallow ground. Now, what are we going to plow out? Boy, I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to get a bit easier. When we put in the plow, what are we going to plow up? I'm saying, huh? Who said that? What are we going to plow out, Leroy? I'm going to tell you what, hey, I'm going to tell you what needs to be plowed up, some roots. You never seen anybody plant soil with roots? Oh, no. Crop cannot grow in ground with roots. And I'm going to tell you, the Word of God can't grow and become productive in our hearts if there's roots growing in it.
Right.
Oh, now somebody said, what kind of roots? I'm glad you asked. What about that root of bitterness? Huh? Huh? Misfortunes of life? I've not been as fortunate as somebody else, preacher. And I'm bitter about that. I don't make as much money as other folks. I'm bitter about that. I don't appear to be favored by God as much as somebody else. I'm bitter about that. I've had many misfortunes and many troubles and many heartaches and many bitter experiences. And I'm bitter about that. If God's going to feed in this garden, friend, there's no room for a root of bitterness. You mark her down. It's going to have to be beds of spices sown with love and productive for the glory of God.
Amen.
Huh? What did the Bible say about in Hebrews 12:15? Looking diligently.
Amen.
Lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. And thereby many be defiled. I'm going to tell you what that real bitter root where the problem, hey, the real heartache, the problem is those around you are defiled by you. I wonder how many children, come on in the house, you bunch of little rebels. I wonder how many little rebels they are this morning that's got a bitter heart and a bitter spirit about their mother or their daddy over absolutely nothing, my friend, and it has sprung up and defiled the whole household. I won't charge you a thing for that. Well, I wouldn't go to church if mom and daddy didn't make me. I wouldn't sit there and listen to that old red-faced, gray-haired man slobbering carry on. Mom and daddy didn't make me. I don't like the church. I don't like the music. I don't like the preaching. I don't like the singing. I don't like the people. I don't like the preacher. I don't like nothing about it. I'm going to tell you what your problem is. There is a root of bitterness in you, young person.
Amen. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
And if you ain't careful, son, it'll defile the whole family.
Amen.
And if that family ain't careful, it'll defile the whole house of God. Somebody said, what are you trying to do, preacher? Put the plow down and plow her out.
Get them now. Get them roots out.
And I'm going to tell you what, we ain't a plowing with a number 12. We've got about 216 double bottoms and got them laid to the hilts, buddy.
Amen.
Amen. I'm just going to be honest with you. And Brother Hall, just be right honest with you this morning. I get tired of coming to church and looking on faces and countenances of people that I know they're like that because their spirit is bitter about something.
Amen.
Or somebody.
Amen.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
What are you bitter about this morning? Well, I only wear these clothes because mommy and daddy makes me wear them.
Amen.
Your problem is, young man, young lady, you need to get born again.
Amen.
You've been listening to the wrong people, bend your ear, buckwheat. I might get meaner than a snake. Well, why does Brother Hall think us girls ought to have our long hair and make it look like a lady? Bless your heart, because the Bible says so. Plant that root of bitterness. Get happy in your heart. I'm going to tell you a real cure for bitterness in your soul, friend. You see, the bitter root come because a man sold his birthright. He wanted nothing to do with God, nothing to do with spiritual things. Amen. And when he saw the blessing on Isaac, on his brother, he got on Jacob, he got bitter about it. Can I say that's the same reason that Abel got bitter? He saw the blessing on his brother, or Cain rather. He saw the blessing on his brother Abel. Said, I'm going to kill him. God has accepted him and he won't accept me. I'm going to kill him. Bitter. Bitter. Huh? I don't know why I can't wear breeches, Mommy. Because the Bible said it's an abomination. Well, I don't know why I can't wear slits. They're for sluts. I won't charge you a thing for that. I just feel mean this morning. Y'all done it now. If you'd ever learn to come in here and sing and shout and run the aisles, we'd go home about 12 o'clock and had a good time. But while there's roots, we're going to keep on plowing. Huh? You ain't left me yet, have you? What about that root of bias? You do know what bias is, don't you? Ought to. You hear them Republicans and Democrats, that's all they talk about. Both of them. Well, this was a biased vote. I don't give a flip whether they ever vote again or not. I'm going to heaven. I could care less what the whole outfit does. It's America's are going to hell, son, on a rapid pace, and I give a flip what any of them does. They're going to hell, I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
Yes! But I'm telling you, the real problem is when there's prejudice and bias in the house of God. Amen. Do you think that Christ, my friend, could feed an Island Ford Baptist church if half or third of them is puffed up against another third, and another third puffed up against the other third, and that third puffed up against both of the two thirds? Sometimes y'all come in here sometimes looking like blowing diapers. You look like somebody's filled you up with an air hose. First thought you might have ate wrong kind of food and had a lot of gas, but it ain't gas. You puffed. Huh? Listen here. What do old brother James say? Come on in the house, children.
Amen.
We're preaching today. Some of you don't believe it, but we are. You know what James said? My brethren, writing to the people of God, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect unto him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, or say to the poor, stand thou here, or sit here under my footstool. He said, are you not partial in yourself, and are become judges of evil thoughts?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something, friend. There ain't no big eyes and little U's at Island Ford Baptist Church.
Amen.
I don't care if you're on food stamps and on poverty level. Or whether, and it makes no difference to me if you got the biggest paycheck in Kentucky. That don't cut a lick of ice with me.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, we're all on level ground according to the family of God. We're saved by the grace of God, and that's that. And God help us if we'll cater and cuddle up to those that are a little less fortunate than what we are. You want me to just get her tighter than that? Huh? What about being biased because somebody's personality is not quite like yours? Got a little different personality. I just ain't going around then. I had a person, and I hope she's listening. I love her. I had a person that emailed me a letter, chewed me out royally about my mother's death and some things going on in the family. And she said, for the last 10 years, my sister, she said, you've treated me like you didn't even know me, like you didn't even want to be around me. Well, I'm going to be quite honest with you. Are y'all in the church house this morning?
Amen.
There may be times in my life when I act like I don't want to be around you. But it ain't because I don't want to be around you. I'd rather be here in the church and be around you than to be anywhere I know. But there's times that my little mind, and it's so small, there's times it gets locked up on something and I'm way out yonder.
Amen.
I'm gone from this world. I think one of the members in the church came to me one time and said, Brother Hall, said, have I done anything to offend you? I said, no, I don't know, huh? He said, well, said, sometimes I try to talk to you and said, you just turn around and walk off. Well, that seemed like it may be a personality trait of mine if I'd done the same thing to my sister. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
It's me. It's my makeup. It's how I am. And coupled with preaching the Word of God and the preachers of the ministry, my mind is not always where my body is. Sometimes my mind is in the third heaven. And there's other times it's just about in the lowest hell. Are you listening to me? Unbiased. Hey, plow out that root of bias, that root of bitterness, that root of barrenness. John the Baptist said in Matthew 3:10, now also the axe is laid where, Brother John? Where is it laid to? To the root of the tree. Why, Brother John? Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I'm here to tell you, friend, you may profess to be saved, but if there is no fruit, son, you better lay the axe to that barren root of yours. There's no fruit because there's no root. That root of barrenness. How's he going to feed in a place that's barren? Void. Saw a tree down at Brother Doug's the other day, a pear tree. It was as brown as anything I'd ever looked at. And he said, look at that pear tree. Preacher said, here a while back, I didn't know it got that cold this spring. He said, the freeze got it this spring. And I thought to myself, and he probably thought I was avoiding him, but my mind was way out there again. And I said, under God, that's where we're at. We've done froze out.
Amen.
Got so cold, we've done froze out in church. Won't be much fruit this spring, buddy. Come on, children. I ain't done yet. Plow out the roots. I won't spend much time here. We need to plow out the rocks. Listen carefully. But he that receiveth seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet he hath no root in himself, but dureth for a little while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He stumbles and falls. Amen. Because there's rocks in his heart. And you can't sow the word of God on rocks and expect it to take root to bring forth a shoot that'll bring forth fruit, because it's an impossibility, son. There's no deepness of earth there. Fly out them rocks. Them rough stay. Them rough places in your heart. Get them out of there. Then I won't say plow out the rubbish. Need to put the plow down and get the rubbish. Somebody said, well, I've just used this for alliteration's sake. I'm talking about the rubbish. I'm talking about thorns and briars. Jeremiah 4:3 said, "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up the fallow ground and sow not among thorns." Are y'all getting anything at all this morning? Are I up here sweating myself to death anybody? Huh? I'm saying, folks, it ain't going to do me a bit of good to stand up here and preach to you. And it ain't going to do you an ounce of good to read the Bible as long as there's roots in your life that hinder growth and rocks in your life that hinder growth and rubbish in your life that hinder growth. It's absolutely vanity of vanities to try to sow the Word of God in a soil that has never been plowed by the Word of God. It'll never bring forth fruit. God help us to keep on plowing. Any man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. By the grace of God, I'm going to keep on plowing. All right. Try to hang with me, will you? Kind of a garden will he feed in? One that's been plowed. I'll say one that's been planted. He went down to feed among the bed of spices. In the beds of spices. A garden that's been planted. Now, I like this. What do we plant it with? We'll just talk to y'all. We're all dead at 4 o'clock. We'll just talk. Plant it, sow it with clean seed. Now I'm fixing to get right back where I was at a while ago. Sow it with clean seed. I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to read to you in Leviticus 19:19. The Lord there is pronouncing a blessing or a curse upon the people of God. And He's talking to them about if they obey or if they disobey the Word of God. And He said, "You shall keep My statutes. Thou shalt not," get this, "thou shalt not let cattle gender with a diverse kind." I don't intend to get vulgar. But I'm telling you, friend, this thing with the sodomites. Huh? If God said that it's wrong for cattle of a diverse kind to gender together, buddy, I believe it's wrong for people of the same sex to gender together. God said it's wrong. Don't let your cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow seed that is mingled in your field. Come in the house, children. I wonder if we're sowing with good, clean seed in the house of God down in Ford Baptist. Now look here. He didn't say there might be some good seed in the way. He said, don't sow it with mingled seed. In other words, you don't sow grass, good Kentucky bluegrass, with ragweeds. It's just stupid. You don't sow good fescue with horse weeds. That's crazy. And you don't sow the spiritual with the carnal, for that is vanity of vanities, my friend. Let me ask you something. Somebody said, "Preacher, I read my Bible every day." Good for you. Preacher, I come to church 3 times a week and sit under preaching. Good for you. And I read my Bible every morning. What do you read every night?
Go ahead.
Uh-oh. You're not mingling the seed, are you? You surely wouldn't mingle the Bible with Playboy. I got a magazine in my mailbox up there that had People. I looked at the front cover and I couldn't believe my eyes. I threw the mess in the trash.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
It's not going to profit you much, friend.
Amen.
It ain't going to profit you much to read the Bible and sow good seed in your heart and then mingle that good seed with some kind of foreign material from a book that'll contaminate that which you've already sown. I'll just be quite honest with you. I don't read none of the magazines.
Amen.
What kind of books you got? Well, preacher, I'll tell you what, I get up every morning and sing Rock of Ages and sing Amazing Grace. But what do you turn to when you scan the radio dial?
Amen.
You don't get up or pick up old garbage, do you? Garbage Brooks, I'm talking about. Johnny Trash. All that crowd ain't her notes. I guarantee you some of you do. I guarantee you some of you are still sowing mingled seed in your heart. You listen to the Bible and sing Amazing Grace and then turn right around, son, and sing along with that crowd that's sitting on a bar stool with another man's wife. Ain't we having fun today, buddy? I am. Huh? What about that mingled seed? What about the worldly entertainment? What are we entertaining ourselves with? Mingled seed. Sow it with clean seed. I want to say sow it with consecrated seed. Bible said, he said, thou shalt carry much seed. Get this now. Listen to me. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field and shalt gather but little in. I wonder if that's what we're not doing. Brother Hall, I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying, Brother Hall. I'm trying to worship the God in church. I'm sowing the good seed, but I fail to bring anything back in. My harvest is weak. The harvest field, just a tad bit barren. I'm sowing a whole lot and getting little. Maybe we're not, maybe it's because of disobedience to the Word of God. Maybe we've sowed mingled seed. You can't, hey, you're not going to get a full harvest if she's mingled. Be careful now. For the locust, he said, shall consume it. Boy, I'm telling you, I don't even want to say one of these words. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes.
Amen.
He said, you'll plant your vineyard, but there'll be no joy. You will not gather any wine. What are we sowing? What kind of a church would Christ feed Himself in?
Amen.
Man, I tell you, I hate to harp on joy, but I'm telling you, that is, hey, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
Amen.
God, where's our joy? And we planted a vineyard and ain't got a drink of wine yet.
Amen.
Said, for the worm shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil. Wonder how many folks in here has really sought the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your life?
Amen.
The power of God. Oh, I'm looking for that anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed.
Amen.
But have you obeyed and obeyed and obeyed?
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. This is the one I don't even want to read. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them.
Amen.
For they shall go into captivity. Come on in the house, church.
Amen.
Brother Hall, my little baby's a real problem. That child of mine, I just find no joy in them. What are you sowing?
Amen.
The headache. Like that old ad that used to be on the radio station, that woman who it was and talking to them little kids and said, I wish you'd have never been born. Why don't you live someplace else? They some folks, come on now. They some folks that can't wait to raise their children and get them grown to put a boot in them and get them out.
Amen.
Get them out from under my feet.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, if you ever get right with God, you would to God they were back. Miss Hall used to tell all of our kids and tells our grandkids now, says, Grandma's going to put a rock on your head so you can't grow. Let me ask you something. Do you enjoy your children or are you enduring them?
Amen.
You enjoy them? Or do they bring sunshine in your life or do you just tolerate them being around the house? I'll give you sons and daughters, but you won't enjoy them. Why? They'll go into captivity, the rest of the verse says.
Amen.
And you can't enjoy them because they're not enjoying life.
Amen.
Spiritual captivity of a child in a family where mom and daddy are at liberty and loving God is an absolute prison. You love them?
Amen.
Wonder if I was to take a survey of the kids this morning. Might do that one of these days. Have them write down a piece of paper. How many of you children feel loved by mom and daddy?
Amen.
How many of you are happy in your environment?
Amen.
Go ahead,
man. Go ahead.
Amen.
And some of them can't be happy because you mom and daddies are not happy. You'll raise up a child just exactly like you are, depressed all the time, unhappy, no joy.
Amen.
We're having fun.
Amen.
I want to say lastly, what kind of a church? One that's been plowed, one that's been planted, and one that is productive.
Amen.
He said beds of spices indicate that it's productive.
Yes, sir.
And there is a fragrance that is developed in that garden, in that church. Listen to what Isaiah said. This almost sounds like Solomon. He said, now I will sing. Now I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard.
Amen.
My beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. Now that vineyard is a house of Israel, but it could be applied to God's people through all ages. And he said, I planted that church in a fruitful hill.
Amen.
Calvary, folks, is a fruitful hill.
Amen.
That ought to bring forth, that ought to be productive. We ought to be productive for him.
Amen.
Planted in a fruitful hill. And he said he fenced it and gathered out the stones. What about that? He plowed out the stones.
Right.
Thereof. And he planted it with the choicest vine. I am the vine, Jesus said.
Yes, sir.
He said, I've given you a hill and I've given you a vine, the Lord Jesus. I planted it with the choicest vine. And he said, I built a tower in the midst of it. And get this next. And also made a wine press therein.
Amen.
And he said, I looked that it should bring forth grapes. And it brought forth wild grapes.
Amen.
No productivity.
Amen.
Can I read you? I know this is slow. He said, what could I have been done more to my vineyard than I've done in it?
Right.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, folks. God spoke to my heart out of that verse of Scripture. I sat down when I read this and I said, God, What can I do? I preached 13 years of my life. More can I do? You know what the answer come back to me? God said, you can't do no more. I've planted it in the hill and you've plowed it. And I've planted it and I've looked for it to bring forth grapes and he said it brought forth wild ones.
Amen.
Amen.
sits in a choice hill. Got a choice vine, fruitful hill and a choice vine. Said, I built the tower. He said, I hedged it, I fenced it. Isn't what he said. He said, and I looked and it should bring forth grapes and brought forth wild grapes. He said, now go to. I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I'll take my away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break the wall down thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned or digged. But there shall come up briars and thorns. And I will also command the locusts that they rain upon it. Don't rain. Are you listening? And I'm going to tell you where I think we failed in that verse of Scripture. Stay with me just a minute. You know what a wine press is? I thought about preaching on this Tuesday night. You know what a wine press is? It squeezes grapes to bring the juice out of them. The finished product of a grapevine is not grapes. It's the juice that's in the grape. And the only way you're going to get that juice out of the grape is to apply a little pressure to it. And I really think we're failing right there. I think God has tried to apply pressure on us spiritually in the wine press to bring juice. And I'm afraid we've bucked on it. We've kicked out. And if we ain't right careful, we're going to bring up some briars and thorns. Look here. I know these babies crying, but I'm not done yet. If we ain't right careful, stand up, Mr. Thorne.
That's right.
Well, I look for grapes. But I got a thorn! Stand up, Simba. Thorn and a briar. Stand up, Josh. Stand up, J.W.
Amen.
Stand up, son. Stand up, Megan. If you girls over there don't mind standing, just stand up, will you? All you kids in here, just stand up. Stand up. Stand. Well, you boys won't stand up right there in the cube with Daddy and Mommy. Just stand up. You girls won't stand up.
Amen.
Of course, he ain't big enough, and he ain't big enough. And I love you. Are you listening to me? But I'm telling you, your eyes are beholding the thorns and the briars that this garden will bring up.
Amen.
If we don't diligently seek God and sell out to our Lord.
Amen.
Where's all yours at? Georgia. Plumb out of the will of God down there in Egypt. What do y'all think?
I looked that it should bring forth grapes. Whoa! And it brought forth wild grapes.
The vine was right. The hill was right. The tower was there. The press was there. It was hedged about. Couldn't nothing harm it. Had a hedge about it. He had done got out all the rocks. He had plowed the ground, cleared the ground, planted it right. It was plowed and planted. But it brought up wild grapes.
Amen.
Let's stand together. I've tried to preach truth to you. I've done my best to preach truth to you this morning. Father, I thank you for truthful statements from the Word of God.
please help us as parents and grandparents to sow the right kind of seed, clear the ground, sow the seed, that you might be partaker of the fruit thereof. I pray you'll help the church. Give grace and victory in hearts. Help us to be overcomers for Thee. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name for what's done. For every sinner that's saved, for God's work. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Is that just as I am without one plea? 282. Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. God spoken to your heart in any way this morning? Anything that I preached? Let's make our way to the altar or to an altar and there meet with God. Let's sing, Brother George.